here's a marvelous convenient place for our rehearsal. This grand plot shall be our stage, this hawthorn break our tyrannous, and we will do it in action as we will do it before the Duke.
Peter Quinn.
What sayest thou, Bully Bottom?
There are things in this comedy of Pyramus and Thisbe that will never please. First, Pyramus must draw a sword to kill himself, which the ladies cannot abide.
By your leg in a parlous fair.
I believe we must leave the canute when all is done.
Write me a prologue, and let the prologue seem to say that we will do no harm with our swords, and that Pyramus is not killed indeed, and tell him that I, Pyramus, am not Pyramus, but Bottom the Weaver.
Well, we will have such a prologue.
Will not the ladies be afeard of the lion?
Oi, ferret, I promise ya.
Masters, to bring in a lion among ladies is a most dreadful thing.
Therefore another prologue must tell he is not a lion.
Nay, you must name his name, and half his face must be seen through the lion's neck, and he himself must speak through saying, if you think I come hither as a lion, it were pity I'm alive. No, I am no such thing. I am a man as other men are.
And there indeed let him name his name and tell him plainly, a Snug the Giant.
Well, it shall be so, but there are two hard things. That is, to bring the moonlight into the chamber, for you know, Pyramus and Thisbe met by moonlight.
Doth the moon shine that night we play or play?
A calendar! Calendar! Look at the almanac! Find out moonshine! Find out moonshine!
Yes! It doth shine that night!
Why then may you leave a casement of the great chamber window where we play open, and the moon may shine in at the casement.
Aye! Or else Olm must come in with a bush of thorns and a lanthorn, and say he comes to present the parson a moonshine. Then there is another thing. We must have a wall in the great chamber, for Pyramus and Thisbe, says the story, did talk through the chink of a wall.
You can never bring in a wall. Oh, what say you, Bottom?
Some man or other must present wall, and let him hold his fingers thus, and through that cranny shall Pyramus and Thisbe whisper.
If that may be, then all is well. Come, sit down, every mother's son, and rehearse your parts. Pyramus, you begin. When you have spoken your speech, enter into that break, and so every own according to his cue.
What if an own spuns if we swagger in air, so near the cradle of the fairy queen? What? A play toward? I'll be an auditor, an actor too, perhaps, if I say cause.
Speak, Pyramus. Thisbe, stand forth.
Thisbe! The flowers of odious savor sweet!
Odors! Odors!
Odors savour sweet. So hath thy breath, my dearest Thisbe dear. But hark! A voice! Stay thou but here a while, and by and by I will to thee appear.
Stranger Pyramus than e'er played ear.
Must I speak now?
Aye, marry, must ya? For you must understand he goes but to say a noise that is heard and is to come again.
Most radiant Pyramus, most lily white of hue, a colour like the red rose on triumphant brier, most brisky juvenile and eke most lovely Jew, as truest horse that yet would never tire. I'll mate thee, Pyramus, at Nene's tum.
Ninus tum. Why, you must not spake that yet. That you answer to Pyramus. You spake all your part at once, cues and all. Pyramus, enter. Your cue is past. 'Tis never tire.
Oh, as truest horse that yet would never tire.
If I were fair, Thisbe, I were only thine.
I'll follow you. I'll follow you. I'll lead your boat to Rome. Through bog, through bush, through brake, through briar. For thy moors I'll be. For thy mind. And it's bad. For thy fire. And nay, and bark, and grunt, to roar, and roar. Like all sound, all bear fire at every time.
Why did they run away?
This is a knavery of them to make me afeard. I see their knavery. This is to make an ass of me, to fright me. But I will sing that they shall hear I am not afraid. The usel cock so black of you,
with orange tawny bill. The throstle with his note so true, the wren with little quill.
What angel wakes me from me flowery bed?
The finch, the sparrow, and the lark, the flame song cuckoo gray, whose note full many a man doth mark, and dares not answer me.
I pray thee, gentle mortal, sing again. Mynheer is much enamored of the note. So is mine eye enthralled to this shape. And thy fair virtue's force perforce doth move me on the first view to say, to swear, I love thee.
Methinks, mistress, you should have little reason for that. And yet, to say the truth, reason and love keep little company together nowadays.
Thou art as wise as thou art beautiful.
Not so, neither. But if I had wit enough to get out of this wood, I have enough to serve my own turn.
I am a spirit of no common rate. The summer still doth tend upon me state, and I do love thee. Therefore, go with me. I give thee fair rays to attend on thee. Peas blossom?
Ready.
Cobweb?
Ready.
Mort?
Ready.
Mustard seed?
Ready.
Dragon snap?
Ready.
Where shall we go?
Be kind and courteous to this gentleman. Up in his walks and gamble in his eyes. Feed him with apricocks and uberize, with purple grapes, green figs, and mulberries. The honey begs tale from the humble buys, and for night tapers crop their waxen thighs, and light them.
Worship's mercy, Artley. I beseech your worship's name.
Cobweb.
I shall desire you of more acquaintance, good master. Cobweb. If I cut my finger, I shall make bold with you. Your name, honest gentleman.
Pears blossom.
Oh, I pray you, commend me to Mistress Squash, your mother, and to Master Peascod, your father. Good Master Peas Blossom, I shall desire you of more acquaintance too. Your name, I beseech you, sir.
Mustard Seed.
Good Master Mustard Seed. I know your patience well, that same cowardly giant-like oxbeed hath devoured many a gentleman of your house. Your kindred had made mine eyes water ere now, I promise ya.
Come, wait upon him, lead him to me board.
Oh.
The moon, methinks, looks with a watery eye, and when she weeps, weeps every little flower, lamenting some enforced chastity. Tie up me love's tongue, bring him
silently.
Oh!
I wonder if Titania be awaked, then what it was that next came in her eye, which she must dole on in extremita.
Master,
here comes the messenger. Oh, now, mad spirit, what knight rule now about this hunted grove?
My mistress with a monster is in love. Ne'er to her close and consecrated bower, while she was in her dole and sleeping o'er. A crew of patches, rude mechanicals, who work for bread upon Atanian stalls, were met together to rehearse a play, intended for great Tasius' nuptial day. Mm. The shall-west, thick skin of that barren sort, whom Pyramus presented, in their sport, forsook his sand and entered in a break, when I did him a disadvantage take. An ass's knoll, I fix it on his head. Anon his Tesby must be answered, and forth my mimic comes. When Naeum spy, as wild gaze at the creeping foleri, or russet pated chuffs, many in sort, rising and cawing at the gun's report, sever themselves and madly sweep the sky, so at his sight away his fellows fly. I led them on in this distracted fair, and left sweet Pyramus translated there. Mm-hmm. When in that moment, so it came to pass, Titania waked and straightway loved an ass.
This fouls out better than I could devise. But hast thou yet latched the Atanian's eyes with the love jice as I did bid thee do?
I took him sleeping, that is finished too. And the Atanian woman by his side, that when she waked, of force she Armia must be eyed.
Sweet Armia.
Stand close, this is the same Atanian.
This is the woman, but not this the man.
Why rebuke you him that loves you so? Lay breath so bitter on your bitter foe.
If thou hast slain Lysander in his sleep, be in our shoes in blood, plunge in the deep and kill me too. The sun was not so true to the day as he to me. Would he have stolen away from sleep in Harmia? It cannot be but thou hast murdered him. So should a murderer look so dead, so grim.
So should the murdered look, and so should I, pierce through the heart with your stern cruelty.
What's this to my Lysander? Where is he? Our good Demetrius, wilt thou give him me?
I'd rather give his carcass to me hounds.
Hast thou slain him then? Henceforth be never numbered among men.
You spend your passion on a misprized mud. I am not guilty of Lysander's blood, nor is he dead for aught that I can tell.
I pray thee, tell me then that he is well.
And if I could, what should I get therefor?
A privilege, ne'er to say me more. And from the hated presence part us so. Say me no more, where he be dead or no.
There is no following her in this fierce vein. Here therefore for a while I will remain. So sorrow's heaviness doth heavier grow, for death that bankrupt sleep doth sorrow owe.
Oh, what hast thou done? Thou hast mistaken quite, and laid the love jice on some true love sight. About the wood go swifter than the wind, and Elena of Athens look thee find. By some illusion see thou bring her here, I'll charm his eyes against she to appear.
I go, look how I go, swifter than arrow from the Tartar's bow.
Demetrius, flower of this purple dye, hit with Cupid's archer eye, sink in apple of his eye, when his love he doth espy. Let her shine as glorious nigh as the Venus of the sky. When thou wak'st, if she be by, beg of her fair remedy.
Master, captain of our fairy band, Elena is there at hand.
Demetrius!
And the youth mistook by me, pleading for a lover's fay. Shall we their fond pageant say? Lord, what fools these mortals be.
Stand aside, the noise they make will cause Demetrius to awake.
Why should you think that I should woo and scorn? Scorn and derision never come in tears. Look, when I vow, I weep, and vow suborn, in their nativity all truth appears. How can these things in me seem scorn to you, bearing the badge of faith to prove them true?
You do advance your cunning more and more. When truth kills truth, O devilish holy fray, these vows are Harmia's, will you give her o'er? Weigh oath with oath, and you will nothing weigh. Your vows to her and may put into scales, will even weigh, and both as light as tales.
I had no judgment when to her I swore.
Nor none in my mind, now you give her o'er.
Demetrius loves her, and he loves not you.
Oh,
Helena. What? Goddess, nymph, perfect, divine. To what, me love, shall I compare thine eyne? Crystal is muddy. Oh, how ripe, and show thy lips those kissing cherries tempting grow.
Oh, spite! Oh, hell! I see you all are bent to set against me for your merriment. Can you not hate me, as I know you do? But you must join in souls to mock me too? You both are rivals in love harm you, and now both rivals to mock Helena.
You are unkind, Demetrius. Be not so, for you love Harmia. This you know I know. And here, with all good will, with all my art, and Harmia's love, I yield you up my part, and yours of Helena to me bequeath, whom I do love and will do till me death.
Never did mockers waste more idle breath.
Lysander, keep thy Harmia, I will known. If e'er I loved her, all that love is gone. My heart to her but as guestwise sojourned, and now to Helen it is home returned, there to remain.
Oh, Helen, it is not so.
Lysander? Lysander! Oh, Hermia, thou art not by mine eye, Lysander, phoned. Mine air, I thank it, brought me to thee sound. But why unkindly didst thou leave me so?
Why should I stay whom love doth press to go?
What love could press Lysander from my side?
Lysander's love that would not let him bide. Fair Helena, who more engilds the night than all yon fiery o's and eyes alight. Why sayst thou me, could not this make thee know? The hate I bear thee made me leave thee so.
Oh, you spake not as you think, it cannot be.
No, she is all of this confederacy. Now I perceive they have conjoined all three to fashion this false sport in spite of me. Injurious Harmia, most ungrateful maid, have you conspired? Have you with this contrived to bait me with this foul derision? Is all the counsel that we two have shared, the sisters' vows, the oars that we have spent, when we have chid the hasty-footed time for pardon us? Oh, is it all forgot? All school day's friendship, childhood innocence? And will you rent our ancient love asunder to join with men in scorning your poor friend?
I am amazed at your passing at words. I scorn you not, it seems that you scorn me.
Aye, do persever. Counterfeit sad looks make mouths upon me when I turn me back. Wank age at other, hold the sweet jest up. But fare ye well, 'tis partly me own fault, which death or absence soon shall remedy.
Stay, gentle Helena, hear my excuse. Me love, me life, me soul, fair Helena.
Oh, excellent. Wait, do not scorn her so.
If she cannot entreat, I can compel.
Canst compel no more than she entreat. The threat of no more strength in our weak prayers. Helen, I love thee, by my life I do. I swear by that which I will lose for thee, to prove him false that says I love thee not.
I say I love thee more than he can do.
If thou say so, withdraw and prove it too.
Quick, come.
Lysander, where to tend all this?
Away.
No, no.
Why are you grown so rude? What change is this? Sweet love, and not I, Harmia, are not you, Lysander? I am as fair now as I was erewhile. Oh. Since night you loved me, yet since night you left me. Mm. Why then you left me? Oh, the gods forbid, in earnest shall I say.
Aye, by my life. Be certain, nothing truer, 'tis no jest, that I do hate thee and love Helena.
Helena? Helena? You thief of love! What, have you come by night and stolen my love's heart from him?
What? Will you tear impatient answers from me, gentle tongue? Fie, fie, you counterfeit! You puppet, you!
Puppet? Why, so I! That way goes the game. Now, I perceive that she hath made compare between our statures. She hath urged her height, and with her personage, her tall personage, her height. Forsooth, she hath prevailed with him. And are you grown so high in his esteem because I am so dwarfish and so low? How low am I, thou painted maypole? Speak, how low am I? I am not yet so low, but that me nails can reach into thine eyes.
Let Arnab strike me! You perhaps bethink because she is something lower than meself that I can match her.
Lower, hark again!
Good Hermia, do not be so bitter with me. I evermore did love you, Hermia. Did ever keep your counsel, never wronged you. Save that in love unto Demetrius. I told him of your stealth into this wood. Let me go. You see how simple and how fond I am.
Why, get you gone. Who is it that hinders you?
A foolish heart that I leave here behind.
What, with Lysander?
With Demetrius.
Be not afraid. She shall not harm thee, Helena.
No, sir, she shall not, though you take her part.
Oh, when she is angry, she is keen and shrewd. She was a vixen when she went to school, and though she be but little, she is fair.
Little again! Not but low and little! Let me come to her!
I'll get you gone, you dwarf, you minimus of hindering not grass made, you beard, you acorn!
You are too officious on her behalf that scorns your services. Let her alone. Speak not of Helena. Take not her part, for if thou dost intend ne'er so little show of love to her, thou shalt abide it.
No, she holds me not. No folly, if thou darest, to try who's right. Of thine or mine is most in Helena.
Folly? Nay, I'll go with thee. Cheek be jowl.
You, mistress! All this kyle is long of you. Nay, go not back.
I will not trust you, I, nor longer stay on your cursed company. Your hands than mine are quicker for a fray. My legs are longer, though, to run away.
I am amazed, and know not what to say.
This is thy negligence, still thou mistakest, or else commits thy knaveries willfully.
Believe me, King of Shadows, I mistook. Did not you tell me I should know the man by the Athenian garment he had on, and so far blameless proves my enterprise? For I have knighted in Athenian's eyes.
Thou seest these lovers seek a place to fight. I, therefore, Robin, overcast the night, and lead these testy rivals so astray as un come not within another's way. Like to Lysander, sometime frame thy tongue, and stir Demetrius up with bitter wrong. And sometime rail they like Demetrius, and from each other look thou laid them thus. Till o'er their brows doth counterfeited sleep, with leaden legs and batty wings doth creep. Then crush this herb into Lysander's eye, whose liquor hath this virtuous property, to take from thence all error with his might, and make his eyeballs roll with wonted sight. When they next wake, all this derision shall seem a dream and fruitless vision, and back to Athens shall the lovers wend, with league whose date till death shall never end. Whilst I in this affair do thee employ, or to my queen and beggar Indian boy, and then I will her charmed eye release from monster's view, and all things shall be peace.
Up and down, up and down, I will lead them up and down. I am fared in field and tone, goblin, lead them up and down. Here comes on.
Where art thou proud, Demetrius? Speak thou now.
Here, villain, drawn and ready, where art thou?
I will be with thee straight.
Well, follow me then, to plainer ground.
Sander, speak again, thou runaway, thou coward. Art thou fled? Speak! In some bush, where dost thou hide thy head?
Thou coward, art thou bragging to the stars, telling the bushes that thou look'st for wars?
Yea, art thou there?
Follow my voice, we'll try no manner here.
He goes before me and still dares me on. When I come where he calls, then he is gone. The villain is much lighter heeled than I. I followed fast, but faster he did fly. That fallen am I in dark, uneven way, and here will rest me. Come, thou gentle day, for if but once thou show me thy grey light, I'll find Demetrius and revenge this spite.
Ho, 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 coward! Why comest thou not?
Abide me if thou darest, for well I wot, thou runst before me shift in airy place, and darest not stand, nor look me in the face. Where art thou now?
Come hither, I am here.
If ever I thy face be daylight, say, now go thy way. Faintness constraineth me to measure out my length on this cold bed. By day's approach, look to be visited.
O weary night, O long and tedious night, abate thy oar. Shine comforts from the east, that I may back to Athens by daylight, from those that my poor company detest.
and sleep, that sometimes shuts up sorrow's eye, stay me a while from mine own company.
Yet but three, come on more, two of both kinds make up four. And there she comes, cursed and sad. Cupid is a knavish lad, thus to make poor females mad.
Ne'er so wary, ne'er so in woe, me dabbled with the dew and torn with briars. I can no further crawl, no further go. Me legs can kick no pace with my desires. Here will arrest me till the break of day. Head and shield Lysander if they main affray.
On the ground, sleep, sound. I'll apply to your eye, gentle lover, remedy. When thou wakest, thou takest true delight in the sight of thy former lady's eye. And the country proverb known, that every man should take his own, in your waking shall be shown. Jack shall have Jill. Naught shall go ill. The man shall have his mare again, and all shall be well.
Come, sit thee down upon this flowery bed, while I, the amiable chicks, do coy, and stick musk roses in thy sleek, smooth head, and kiss thee fair, large ears, me gentle joy.
Where's Peas Blossom?
Ready.
Scratch me head, Peas Blossom. Where's Monsieur Cobweb?
Ready.
Monsieur Cobweb, good Monsieur, get you your weapons in your hand. Kill me a red-hipped tumblebee on the top of a thistle. And, good Monsieur, bring me the honey bag. Where's Monsieur Mustard Seed?
Ready? What's your will?
Nothing, good Monsieur, but to help Cavalry Cobweb to scratch. I must to the barber's, Monsieur, from I think so marvellous airy about the face.
Say, sweet love, what thou desirest to eat.
I can munch your good dry oats.
Sleep thou, and I will wind thee in me arms. Fairies, be gone, and be always away. So doth the woodbine, the sweet honeysuckle, gently entwist. The female ivy so enrings the barky fingers of the elm. Oh, how I love thee, how I dote on thee.
Master, master.
Welcome, good Robin. Seest thou this sweet sight? Her dotage now I do begin to pity. For meeting her of late behind the wood, seeking sweet favours from this hateful fool, I did upbraid her and fall out with her. When I had my pleasure taunted her, and she in mild terms begged me patience, I then did ask of her changeling child, which straight she gave me, and her fairy sent to bear him to me bore in fairyland. And now I have the boy, I will undo this hateful imperfection of her eyes. And gentle Pa, take this transformed scalp from off the head of this Atenian swain, that he, awaking when the others do, may all to Athens back again repair, and think no more of this night's accidents, but as the fierce vexation of a dream. But first I will release the fairy queen. Be as thou wast wont to be, see as thou wast wont to see. Dian's bud or Cupid's flower hath such force and blessed power. Now, me Titania, wake you, my sweet queen.
Oh, me Oberon, what visions have I seen? Me thought I was enamored of an ass.
There lies your love.
How came these things to pass? Oh, how mean eyes do loathe his visage now!
Silence a while. Robin, take off this head. Titania, music call, and strike more dead than common sleep of all these five descents.
Music, oh, music such as charmeth sleep.
No, when thou wak'st, with thine own fool's eyes peep.
sound music. Come, McQueen, take hands with me, and rock the ground whereon these slapers be. Now thou and I are new in amity, and will tomorrow midnight solemnly dance in Duke Theseus' house triumphantly, and bless it to all fair prosperity. There shall the pairs of faithful lovers be wedded, with Theseus all in jollity.
Fairy King, attend and mark, I do hear the morning lark.
Come, me lord, and in our flight, tell me how it came this night that I slape an heir was found with these mortals on the ground.
Well, well, fair queen, up to the mountain's top and mark the musical confusion of hounds and echo in conjunction.
I was with Hercules and Cadmus once, when in a wood of Crete they bayed the bear with hounds of Sparta. I never heard so musical a discord, such sweet thunder.
Me hounds are bred out of the Spartan kind.
No?
Slow in pursuit, but matched in mouth like bells, H under H. A cry more tunable was never hollowed to nor cheered with horn. Judge when you hear. But soft, what nymphs are these?
Me lord. This is me daughter here asleep.
Hermia?
And this Lysander. This Demetrius is. This Helena. Old Nater's Helena. I wonder if they're being here together.
Shh. No doubt they rose up early to observe the rite of May, and hearing our intent came here in grace of our solemnity. But spake, Aegeus, is not this the day that Hermia shall give answer of her choice?
It is, me lord.
Go, bid the huntsmen welcome with their horns. Good morrow, friends. St. Valentine is past. Begin these wood bards, but a couple now.
Pardon me, lord.
I pray you all stand up. I know you two are rival enemies. How comes this gentle concord in the world, that hatred is so far from jealousy to slay, be hate, and fear no enmity?
My lord, I shall reply amazedly, half slip, half waken, but as yet I swear I cannot truly say how I came here. But as I think, for truly would I speak, I came with Hermia hither.
Lysander.
Our intent was to be gone from Athens, where we might, without the peril of the Athenian law.
Oh, enough. Enough, me lord, you have enough. I beg the law upon his head, for they would have stolen away. They would, Demetrius, thereby to have defeated you and me. You of your wife, and me of my consent. Of my consent that she should be your wife.
My lord, fair Helen told me of their stealth, of this their purpose hither to this wood. And I in fury hither followed them, fair Helena in fancy following me. But, my good lord, I wot not by what power, but by some power it is. My love to Hermia melted as the snow, and all the faith, the virtue of my heart, the object and pleasure of mine eye is only Helena.
Fair lovers, you are fortunately met. Of this discourse we more will hear anon. Aegeus, I will overbear your will.
Good lord!
For in the temple, boy and boy with us, these couples shall eternally be knit. Away with us to Athens, three and three. We'll hold a fest in great solemnity. Come, Hippolyta. Come, Aegeus.
These things seem small and undistinguishable.
Methinks I say these things with parted eye, when everything seems double.
And I have found Demetrius like a jewel, me known and not me known.
Are you sure that we are awake? It seems to me that yet we sleep, we dream. Do not you think the Duke was here and bid us follow him?
Yea, and me father.
And Hippolyta.
And he did bid us follow to the temple.
Why then we are awake. Let us follow him, and by the way, let us recount our dreams.
With McHugh Cab's Calby, and I will answer. Hey-ho! Peter Quince. Flute the bellies mender. Snout the tinker. Starveling. God's my life. Stolen ince and left me asleep. I have had a most rare vision, past the wit of man to say what dream it was. Man is but an ass if he go about to expound this dream. The eye of man hath not heard, the ear of man hath not seen. Man's hand is not able to task, his tongue to conceive, nor his art to report what my dream was. I will get Peter Quince to write a ballad of this dream. It shall be called Bottom's Dream, because it hath no bottom.